Welcome back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton. How's it going?
It's going.
It's still going.
Yeah. Well, as at the time of this recording, of course, everybody knows this is a pre-recorded program. Yep. We're not live. Mm-hmm. But this is the 4th of July week.
It is
for us. We are very blessed. Yes. To work in a place that allows us to be off for the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so we have like a short week, and yeah. We're trying to fit all that in. And then today, I realized that I'd scheduled, you know, our recording for when, you know, after they were going to let us off, and I had to bump it up in the middle of everything, and everybody's doing what we're doing. So I'm trying not to be mad at people, mm-hmm. which, try not to be angry at other people because they're doing what I'm doing. They're desperately trying to get their stuff in. Before we get to be off for a holiday. I know, first world problems.
I know, really. Mad at your
cannot
vacation.
Cannot believe we're getting time off, no.
Right.
But, and so, like, I found it really funny because mm-hmm. while I'm dealing with this, mm-hmm. as I'm driving like a maniac over here, but I didn't.
You didn't
break
speed.
Any laws.
You didn't break any laws.
I can't say I've never sped before because I have. Saw those blue lights in my back window before too. Yeah, I deserved it,
right?
But I didn't. But thank the Lord that I live very close,
right?
So that I was able to make it over here in time mm-hmm. for our recording. But it was just all of this stuff going on, and I was feeling this mm-hmm. like frustration building up. Just, but it was more like a busy, not really.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found myself getting angry mm-hmm. at everybody.
Yeah. I know.
I'm mad at the cars that y'all are in my path. Mm-hmm. I got to get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about it, I was like, how funny the topic that we have for this week mm-hmm. is on anger.
It is on anger. And that's very apt. I mean, look, I've been there too, where for me, all it takes is just waking up just kind of on the wrong side of the bed, you know, just like I didn't, my mind tripped, you know, didn't really get the footing that it needed to get right off the bat. And so just like my attitude just gets sour and like, yeah, every little thing, every little inconvenience is just the worst thing that could possibly happen. Usually that means you just need to sleep or something or pray, definitely.
But
just take a break and just say, look, you put things in perspective. It's not that bad, you know, but I've been there and I sympathize. Like, it's a very common thing. Everybody's experienced this, no matter if your life is genuinely a difficult life or if it's just sort of like us where we're just, you know.
I know. like, there's nothing to complain about.
Right.
You forget those days to count your blessings.
Yes.
And that seems to be what I've done here. And I have another example, which I've told this story before, mm-hmm. and I kind of translated it into my devotion that I had the following week. It was we all take turns every morning mm-hmm. Here at AFA. We meet and do devotion together.
Right.
And so we all are on that list, that alphabetical order list, to take your turn to do devotion, mm-hmm. which I think is great. But, like, I'd gotten to go on a little trip for work to the National Religious Broadcasters, NRB, and the trip up there was just a doozy. Like, we get to the airport.
Yeah.
We get put in, you know, our pilot, we're 2 hours late, taking off in a plane that is the size of maybe my car.
Yeah.
And we've shoved like 18 people in there. The thing is not new.
Right.
I get horrible motion sickness.
Oh, great.
one of the other employees who is also traveling, mm-hmm. he and his wife are both work here, and they're traveling with us. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this just doesn't look good. It doesn't look safe. And I'm like, thank you.
You're about to be hurtled through the air on this
thing. I'm trying not to be sick here.
You're like, I'm pretty sure these seat covers are from the
70s. And then when we finally get there, several hours after we were supposed to be there, and we get to, we finally make our way through if you've never been to the Nashville airport, it's probably not the craziest place in the whole world, but you do have to walk forever just to get to mm-hmm. our baggage. We had to take a shuttle to the baggage.
That's when you know you're,
And at that point, we're already irritated and tired, mm-hmm. it's whatever. We get into an Uber, we get to the hotel, we get through this, there's just like two different conferences, it's huge.
Yeah.
The place is packed, mm-hmm. the line is a million miles long, we finally get through all that, that's exaggeration obviously, but we did spend a long time in that line. Mm-hmm. We get to the counter, they can't find our reservation. We give them every possible name or anything that it could be, American Family Association, American Family Radio, every body that could have But they cannot find it. And they're just like, sorry. And they're just like shrugging at us. And I told you, I was thinking in my mind, because anger came into play at this moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking in my mind, you're representative of AFA, you're representative of AFA, you're representative of AFA. You know, please don't fight the little girl on the other side of the counter. You know, and that's something like, and then I kind of like brought up, like, really though, at all times of my life, no matter where I'm at, I'm a representative of Jesus Christ.
Yes, exactly.
And that kind of, I think, is a good, you know, it also goes along with our discussion on anger.
Yeah.
And this article that you wrote. Mm-hmm. So, for the people who don't know, Jordan is a writer for The Stand.
I am, yes.
So, you'll see his content in The Stand magazine that goes out, the print edition, and on the blog. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this one titled Christians' Anger. So, if you go to afa.net/The Stand, you can find this article. And it's like, as a Christian, how should, is anger okay?
Right. And you know what? The answer to that is, I mean, yes, there are things, and I talk about this in the blog, there are things that we should be angry about. I mean, the Bible tells us, be angry, and then with the caveat, and do not sin.
Yeah. Traffic being too slow is not one of the things.
Exactly. So, anger is something that the Lord has given us. It's an emotion that we feel. It motivates us to, I think, seek justice. It motivates us to do things that are righteous, to put things in perspective. If something is evil, we put that in our minds where we should. It's something to dislike. It's something to be angry about. And there are things absolutely in this world that if you're not angry at them, something's very wrong with your perspective.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not angry at abortion, something is wrong with your perspective on abortion. Maybe you just don't understand what it is, or maybe your heart is But like there are things in this world that should cause everyone to be angry, particularly Christians.
Yeah.
But because we are Christians, like you said, because no matter where you go in life, you're not just, you know, you're not just you and no one else. Like you're not just representing just yourself, and it's okay if people think badly about you. You can afford that. But you're not just doing that. You're representing God as well because you claim to be a Christian. And people say, okay, Christians should behave this way because this is who they say God is. And then when you behave a certain way that doesn't match up with that, that says a lot about God more than it actually says about you. And so people will have this perception of God based on your behavior that is inaccurate and dishonors God in the long run. So that's something we need to be mindful of, not just for anger, but for anything. I mean, this could be things that we laugh at. You know, this could be things that we are entertained by. You know, this could be anything that we make a stance on that is inconsistent with who God says he is. We need to be mindful that we are representing him in this world.
Well, I'm a video scroller.
Yeah.
I think everybody has their platform. A lot of people do.
Yes,
That they scroll through and they watch videos before they go to bed. Probably not the best routine.
Definitely not.
Oh, and I find myself, you were talking about, like, is this thing, like, should I be reacting the way to it that I am? And I've noticed, like, in videos, things that make me laugh.
Mm.
And it's like, and then I'm like, looking back at it, I'm like, okay, maybe it wasn't just outright evil thing that I'm laughing at. But maybe that joke was not... Like, I look back at it and I'm like, okay, they're kind of making fun of an appearance there of a human being that God created. I shouldn't laugh at that.
Yeah.
Type situation, you know, and, but I'm looking at, because when I was reading your article, this first question you put up there has kind of stuck with me.
Mm.
Is our anger personal or in defense of God's character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one has been playing on a loop in my mind. For days now.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of my anger sometimes is just personal.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be
I'm
the
human,
case. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So, like, I'm not looking and seeing, like, in a lot of people who call themselves Christians even, like me, you feel that you're offended by things that are sinful. It's right for you to have offense at it because it offends God and it is wrong. But that's not why you're offended by it.
Yeah.
You're offended by it because you don't like it and it bothers you.
Yes. And you know what? Yeah, this is something that everybody's going to experience. And that's sort of like the basic. But this is why we want to be conformed to the pattern of Jesus and not conformed to the pattern of the world. Because the world... always the gut reaction is if you're personally offended at something, then you have every right to cut it out of your life. You have every right to act towards that thing any way that you want to. You're perfectly mm-hmm. justified because it's offensive to you.
Yeah, you have the right. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people have, feel like they have the right to yell and scream at somebody mm-hmm. because they disagree with them.
Yeah.
No matter, they're not looking and reflecting at themselves mm-hmm. and the fact that I'm now calling you names.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of lose the moral high ground there mm-hmm. either way. But just because I don't like your stance.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I think once we ask ourselves this question, it kind of helps us discern whether or not something is appropriate to have anger towards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not a sin. Maybe it's a difference of opinion that a Christian can genuinely have. You just happen to disagree with it very strongly. These exist all over the place, mm-hmm. especially between denominations, different understandings of Scripture. Christians are different from one another and have very different ideas sometimes, and that's fine. But we can have personal feelings towards those differences that maybe God doesn't share or maybe aren't as emphasized as strongly in Scripture as they are in our own lives.
Yeah.
And so we have these personal offenses towards things that really they're not evil things. And we're wasting our energy a little bit. Maybe we need to have a little bit of humility instead of puffing ourselves up with pride, thinking, oh, we've got it figured out, you know, having no grace towards someone else of a different opinion that falls within orthodox understanding of the Bible and Christianity. So, mm-hmm. Asking our question, this question, is our anger because of a personal offense? Or is this because it offends God's character, can help us sort of sort through those things of like, is this thing really worth being angry about? Or is this just something that I need to grow in and be a little bit more mature about?
I think there's also a difference in who you're looking at. Not saying that God doesn't expect, like it doesn't mean just because if I wasn't a believer, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to get off scot-free from my sin.
Mm-hmm.
But in that area, as a believer, I have a certain understanding. I'm like, why do I expect a non-believer to act like a believer?
Yeah.
Why do I hold them into like on the same level as a believer?
Yep.
So you're talking about anger. I see so many Christians who get angry at non-believers they see she's yelling and screaming at us and calling us names. But then again, they turn around and they start calling them names, which I'm not going to give examples of, but
sure.
I've heard. Because I don't want to fuel that fire, but they're like call them names and stuff, and I'm like, well, they're not a believer, they're not a Christian.
Yeah, and you are. You claim to be a Christian, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, being conformed to the pattern of Jesus. Is this what Jesus did? I don't think so. In fact, when you look at Jesus's earthly ministry, and his attitudes towards people, the ones he directed anger towards, 9 times out of 10
mm-hmm.
were the people who knew better.
Yeah.
Namely the Pharisees.
Yes.
These were the biblical scholars. They were the experts in the Mosaic law. They even took it, and this was a problem, they even took it a step further. They were, air quotes here, more righteous than the law dictated. And therefore, Jesus had a higher standard for them.
Well, they were supposed to be the spiritual leaders.
They were, yeah.
They were these spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. They should have known better.
They should have known better, but Jesus had so many words for them, calling them out, saying, look, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You strain out this tiny little, you're so concerned with keeping the tiniest little detail of the law that you end up killing the spirit of the law and living a life full of sin. You're a whitewashed tomb is what he called them. It was super offensive to them, and they were very angry because, of course, it was a personal offense. But you look at how that model of anger should kind of inform us. Now, yes, we are angry at sin. We are angry at wickedness when there is injustice, when there is innocence suffering. We must be angry at that because God is as well. But how we interact with people should be informed by this when we are interacting with someone who doesn't know better.
Mm-hmm.
That is different than someone who claims to know better.
Well, if you find yourself wanting to just scream at people over things, it's such a simple take when you really think about it.
Yeah.
If somebody came up to you and they had a disagreement, and their reaction was to scream at you and call you names, point their finger at you, and tell you how awful you are.
Right.
How quickly is that going to cause you to think about their side?
Right.
Not at all, really?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you, like as a, you know, even as a believer, you're not going to feel a lot of understanding. But you think about someone who doesn't have Christ in their life and is going just off their human emotions without the guidance of the Lord. They, you come up to them and you point your finger in their face and you scream how awful they are and stuff. Yeah. When really the only difference between them and you is that the Lord is in your life and that you have given your life to Christ. Before that, you were nothing but a dirty sinner as well.
Exactly.
And they, you think you're going to, do you think you're going to make a difference in their life other than solidify their decision to not go to church anymore? You know,
I mean, what is the Bible's, the gospel's call to sinners? Is it, y'all better get in line? You know, I mean, there is an aspect of this, but is this the whole message? Y'all better get in line or there will be consequences.
That's the truth.
Which is the first half. The second half is, come to Jesus. He's God wants to save you. God loves you. Can you say that second half screaming at somebody in anger? I don't think so. I really don't think you can. And so our attitude should really be informed by God's attitude towards sinners, which he has said over and over again. He doesn't want them to perish. His will is for them to be saved and to come to salvation, to repent of their sins, yes, and to know that he loves them. So there's this message of unimaginable love. It's not just, casual love. Yeah, God loves his creation. But no, God, there is a special love here because he sent his son to die for these people. That should really have a big impact on how we talk to these people. And if we're just matching their tone, then we're not following the Holy Spirit. We're following them. You know, we're being conformed to the pattern of the world. We're not taking God's attitude. We're taking the world's attitude, which is the opposite of what we should be doing.
I will say, I think I feel myself, you know, not quite grasping it at certain moments. So the time, and I know this is such a little thing and it's ridiculous, there are two cats in my house. Listen, one of them, she follows me around. That's you know, she follows me around. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But she gives me a wide, like this just wide berth. She does not get up under my feet.
Yeah.
The other cat will like walk up behind me at the counter at the kitchen. I'm standing there doing something and lay directly in behind my feet. So I'm for sure going to step on him and trip and fall.
Yeah.
Every single time. He is like so offended and shocked every single time.
Yeah.
And so like, and like he, and like when I'm walking through a door and he decides he wants to go through there, he makes sure that he darts through first. It doesn't matter how you're stepping through the door or not. He's got to dart through first. Do you know how many times I've ended up on the floor?
Though this cat knows what it's
so many times. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, you will be boots. I'm going to turn you. We're going to have fur boots today, sir. And at that moment, those are the moments that, like, that's such a little thing. It's ridiculous. But I feel that those are the moments where I'm having to, and I'm not good at it, I do yell at this cat.
We've all been here, by the way.
And sometimes I'd very calmly look at him and just go, you will be boots. And that's my way. But but like sometimes I'm like, just why?
Yeah.
Why do you feel the need to walk in between my actual feet? And in those moments, like, I really feel like that's where I struggle the most. I know it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, I take this moment and I can choose to react in a good way, a positive way.
Yeah.
Or not. And the positive way is probably not shrieking at the top of my lungs.
Look, here, this may be God's sovereignty helping you, sanctifying you a little bit. I mean, I feel that at times it is a lot harder to be patient with an animal than it is with a human being, because you think, oh, a human being, they understand you, and animals don't.
Sometimes it's harder,
practice for you.
Sometimes it's so much harder, though, if you really think about it with humans, because it's like, you should understand me. Why don't you understand me?
Yeah, why can't you understand? Oh, man.
And I know you've got three children.
I do.
And I'm sure it has its moments where it wears on your patience. I don't have kids of my own.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, my sister has got three kids, so I watch them, and especially that middle one, he does not care.
Yeah.
he's going to do the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he is, he's like cutting flips around the house for no reason. Mm-hmm. He's three. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he'll just stop and start screaming because he, and then giggling, and then he'll stop and start giggling because he thinks it's funny. Probably because we specifically look at him in the face and go, could you please quit screaming? There's no reason to do it. Anyways, yeah. And so he's the one, Lord bless him, mm-hmm. where I had to look him in his little angel face and his big blue eyes and mm-hmm. go, just please stop. But I know that's when you're kids, yeah. I think.
Yeah. When you're like, why can't you understand that what I'm telling you is for your own good? And that's the thing. They'll learn. They'll yes. learn. And that with kids, I mean, I give them I should give them a whole lot more grace because you know what? Their brains are not fully developed.
No.
It won't be until they're 20-something.
Bless them. They're trying so hard.
They're just doing what makes sense to them, and we're here to guide them in that. But for a fully grown adult, look, my standard is much higher for you. And,
yes, as it should be.
Yeah. And so I expect that when we talk to each other, we at least try to understand one another. And it can be very difficult to be patient with somebody who seems to just not be willing to understand your point of view on a certain matter. And you know what? That's when you do have to sacrifice your anger and be like, look, you know, how many times has God tried to tell me something and I've just been a hard head,
yes.
you know? And I've just been like completely ignoring it or completely misinterpret whatever and just being that obstinate.
That goes back to your third point mm-hmm. on your article. Is our anger devoid of the perspective of the cross?
Right.
Yeah. That is just a great statement. Mm. I feel all around because in those moments when you're dealing with somebody and you're feeling anger, it is easy to forget your own sin.
Yeah.
And I know that I've done mm-hmm. it plenty.
Yeah.
I see things. I watch the news, unfortunately. I think it's our job as Christians. We should know what's going on in the
sure,
world.
Sure, yeah.
We can't just bury our head in the sand. Mm-hmm. We have to know what's going on and spend time with the Lord trying to figure out how to combat the evil and the awful things of the world.
Yeah.
And you see things like that on TV and you just feel white hot rage
yeah.
in your heart. And it's easy in those moments to look at these people who are doing wrong, obviously. Mm-hmm. So many people are doing wrong. But forget where Christ has brought you from.
Right.
I mean, I keep thinking of me, you know, several years back. I had not given my life to Christ mm-hmm. when I started working here. Mm-hmm. I'd been raised in church and I'd been baptized.
Right.
Because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Yeah. I did it because everybody else was doing it.
Yeah.
But it was through my job here and through the constant Christian influence of my peers that I did come to the Lord. And it just, so it wasn't that long ago that I was there. I was one of you. And it's easy to forget that when you're feeling mad about something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, Paul actually reminds, I think it's in Romans, where he reminds the Christians in that church. He's like, look, you look out into the world and you see all these things. You see this system of the world that's enslaved to darkness. But don't forget, that was you. And I think that that's something we as Christians need to remember, especially in a society right now where declaring your side is so important to people. Mm-hmm. And like, taking a stance and like aligning yourself and just kind of organizing yourself according to what you believe is true, and then everything opposite or different than what you believe is your mortal enemy, and you should, you know, say the worst things you could possibly say about it on Twitter or whatever. That's the pattern of the world right now. But that is forgetting that, look, you know, while we never excuse sin, we never excuse the wickedness in the world, we never make room for it or, you know, mm-hmm. oh, we understand it, so we're okay with it. We don't make peace with it. We do when it comes to the people and when it comes to how we direct our anger and how we shape our anger. We have to remember that except for the grace of God, we are exactly the same.
Exactly.
We are exactly the same. There is no difference between me and those people. And that I really don't know of anything else that would be more powerful to shape our anger and make it Christ-like than to have that perspective of these people. We should feel sadness. We should feel the tragedy of what's going on. People made in the image of God living in this way or doing these things that are obviously antithetical to the character of God and displeasing him on a daily basis. We should feel very sad for them because they're enslaved to sin. They're enslaved to darkness. And because of the grace of God, we have that perspective. We should allow that to really inform how we express our anger. Anger should be there. Yeah. I mean, it should. When we see the wickedness in the world, if we don't have that anger somewhere, then something is a little off. But with that, our anger should never look like the anger of the world. Mm-hmm. It has to be different because we are different now.
Well, I mean, your anger shouldn't be, it should involve just screaming and name calling.
Yeah.
If that's what you need to get your point across, then you're not very good with arguments.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's probably not a good point that you're trying to
probably
get across
not.
At that point. Yeah.
And there is, I mean, if you just look at people and you see people out, and it's so easy to look at someone and think, what an awful person, you know,
right.
and stuff. Instead of that, if you look at everybody as like, that's a soul that is bound for eternity one way or another.
Yeah.
Whichever way it goes.
Yeah.
If you look at that and you're like, if I'm to look at their fruits, everything points me to say that they are going to hell, when they pass on.
Yeah.
That should break your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
That should absolutely devastate you that there's somebody, you know, and you think about that, you also look at the potential there.
Mm.
If what could they do for Christ if they were to turn to him?
Absolutely.
To truly turn to him. Mm-hmm. What could they do for Christ?
Exactly. And that is our primary objective here as Christians is to glorify God, but to also preach the gospel that's calling people to a God who loves them and will have mercy on them. And we need to have that same mercy as well. Well, guys, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Find out more about what AFA does at AFA.net. Go to AFR.net as well to see other radio programs and podcasts that you can listen to. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.